So we're finishing up today a three-part series about asking Adonai. And you know, I still don't have my clicker. It's around somewhere, I'm sure. I'll have to really look for it tomorrow. So we're finishing up that series about asking Adonai. And I know we didn't get a video of it last week. Last week we had some problems with our tech stuff, so we didn't get the video. But we do have an audio of it. So there's the audio of both, part one and part two, on the website that you can go back to and listen if you haven't heard them yet. Now, today I don't have time to go back and do a full review of what was said in part one and part two. But like I said, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. So we're going to continue by jumping right into first the what to ask Adonai, and then perhaps the most important section of the whole three-part series is how to ask of Adonai. Now, we know we can ask for anything, but we should not ask for everything we want. Now, a lot of you are too young for the 60s music. I remember it from repeats. Janis Joplin had a song. I don't remember it when it was on the radio, but I've heard it afterwards. And Janis Joplin's lyrics were really kind of hard to forget. I think it was even used for a commercial once. And in his song, she said, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends." Okay, nice little sing-along. Do you remember the second verse, though? The second verse was, "Get me a color TV," because she waits until 3 o'clock every day for delivery. And the third verse is, "Lord, buy me a night on the town," she sings. "And you should prove that you love her by buying the next round." So, for much of the world, they pray for the things that they want, thinking that Adonai is a gumball machine, that he'll just spit out whatever it is that they want. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm saying that we're not to ask for what the world needs or for our own needs, but we are to place some emphasis on what he wants for the world. What we should ask for in prayer to Adonai are the things that are within his will and not just our own will, even when praying for someone else. Does Adonai want to bless us? Yes, but not just with material things that people think will be a blessing to them. There really is a long list of things that we can ask Adonai for, such as peace on earth, especially at this time of the year, healings, provisions. But for today, I want to look at just a few things that I believe really are the overarching things that allow all of our other requests to be answered in the positive. If we're to be aligned with Adonai in our asking, then our desires are to be aligned with his. And our asks are to be aligned with his. Listen to what the psalmist writes in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, starting in verse 33. "Teach me the way of your decrees, Adonai, and I will follow them to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your Torah and observe it with all my heart. Help me walk in the path of your mitzvot. I delight in it." The psalmist is calling out for understanding to align with the Torah, which of course is the heart of Adonai. His words reveal his heart and his desires, which teach us by example. They are all of his instructions that we should want. And if we are to be aligned with him, than they are to be on our hearts. This is why we ask in prayer for the things that align with Him all the time. I believe that when we're aligned with Him and His desires, that all the other needs that we have will come to be met. I believe this because of what it says in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 31, starting there. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the pagans eagerly pursue all these things, yet your Father in heaven knows what you knows that you need all these things, all of these. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Trusting in Him when we ask means trusting in Him for all things, even for the things that we're not asking for right at that moment. So what are the things that brings us into alignment with Him? What are the things we should be asked? They are not always what the world thinks that we should be praying for. Because His ways are higher than ours, there are going to be times that our flesh just doesn't agree with His words. But this is where we, by force, overcome our fleshly desires. And when we ask the Ruach to help us to do and pray His will. For example, when we're attacked by our enemies, our flesh wants to fight back. But what are we to do? Yeshua tells us in Matthew 5:34. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do the same, don't they? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than anyone else? Even the pagans do that, don't they? It is always easier to ask for things for those that we love or for ourselves. But this is not the instructions from Adonai. It's also easier to ask for vengeance of Adonai, to rain fire and brimstone onto our enemies, those who persecute us. But that's also not what He says. To align with Him, we are to pray for love and understanding, even on those that are not aligned with us. And of course, we should always remember that we should not be praying that others line up with us, but that they line up with Adonai. We should be praying for all things to align with Adonai at all times. I believe that means more than just agreeing with Him, but also that all things honor Him. When we pray for healing, it should be so that others will see and hear the testimony of His power and His grace and His great love. When we see Yeshua raise Lazarus from the grave, look what we read right after that in John 11. John 11:45. Therefore, many of the Judeans had come to Miriam and had seen what Yeshua had done, put their trust in Him. There was not just a miracle, but there was a testimony that came out of it. In fact, So much of Scripture is a testimony of the grace, mercy, and love of Adonai. What we should want and ask of Adonai should be so that the acts of grace, mercy, and love continue, so that the testimonies of who He is will also continue. Personal eyewitness and of even small acts that Adonai does, if there really are just small acts that He does, will almost always be a greater witness than words on a page, and even when those words are Scripture. So we ask of Adonai so that His glory will be seen as a testimony of His love towards all He's created. When we hear Yeshua ask of the Father, there was always the reason He had be seen through Yeshua. This is what we see in John 17. As Yeshua's time on earth was drawing near to the end, He said this in John 17, verse 1. Yeshua spoke these things, lifting up His eyes to heaven. He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son so that the Son may glorify You." Yeshua's only reason to be glorified was so that the Father would be glorified. With this example, the only reason that we should want anything, ask for anything, is so that Adonai would be glorified and honored. I know that anything we ask for, if it'll bring honor and glory to Him, will be answered yes and amen. There is no prayer that brings dishonor to Adonai that will be answered. But there's also no prayer that brings honor to Him that will be unheard. For those who would take the verses that say anything in My name, thinking that they can actually ask for anything, like the Mercedes-Benz, also think that some scriptures can be discounted or disconnected with other scriptures. Ask anything in My name, and if it aligns and honors the Father, it will be done for you. Do not disassociate the scriptures that say ask with the scriptures that say be aligned and think that you'll get anything out of them. Which leads us into the final part of the Ask Adonai series, which is how to ask Adonai. We went through the who and the why the first week, and the when and where the second week. Then, of course, we just went through the what just now. We've seen some of the how to ask of Adonai throughout it. But let's take a look at a few scriptures that give us more insight into how to ask of Adonai. And we'll start with a couple of verses from Psalm 66. Psalm 66:16. "Come and listen, all you who fear God. I will tell what He has done for my soul. I cried out to Him with my mouth, and exultation was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." There's just so much there from these couple of verses about how we ask God. First was by approaching Him with fear. And this is not the be afraid of Him, not be scared of Him, but to approach Him with reverence and giving Him the place of honor in your life that He so deserves and demands. He said, then it says, ask with your mouth and your tongue. He knows our heart. He knows our silent prayers. But it gives Him pleasure to hear not just our praises out loud, but our asks of Him out loud as well. Why? I believe it's because when we speak them out loud, not only can others agree with us, but it shows a form of faith. And finally, it says, without iniquity or without sin. I spoke about this earlier in the series, but bears repeating. We are to be pure and spotless when approaching Him. This means that if I had loved sin, or even if I had stored it up hidden in my heart so that nobody else could see it, it'll still hinder our prayers to Him. But the opposite's also true. And we read this in Psalm 119, Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not stray from your mitzvot. I have treasured your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. Keeping a pure heart is the way that anyone will be able to have their prayers heard. The whole heart indicates that it's not just a part of it, or even the majority of it. But when it says the whole heart, the psalmist wants you to know that even those dark corners where things get hidden from the world, and maybe even hidden from yourself, they need to be cleaned and purified. That's when you need to ask the Ruach to enlighten those places, to shine His light into them, to show you the sin that is there so you can deal with it. And we know that we all sin. And Adam and I also knew the flesh and the issues that we have with flesh from the start. During the dedication of the first temple which Solomon built, Adam and I gave this warning about what would happen to our requests of Him when we sin, but also what would happen when we return to Him. 2 Chronicles 7:13. If I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, when my people, over whom my name is called, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There are many versions of this scripture that say, when I shut up heaven or command the locusts, and when I send the pestilence, which I think is correct because Adam knows the hearts of men. He knew they were going to be pulled by the flesh and sin. But there's also good news there. He will accept us back when we turn back to Him. There's also one thing that the scripture tells us about how we are to turn back, which is another way of saying how we are to ask Adonai after we've sinned. It says, when my people humble themselves and turn from evil, He will hear their prayers. We must be humble and not turned towards evil or sin. There are going to be times that we're stuck in our sin and recognize that we're in this place we don't want to be. And that is when and that is where His mercies are the greatest. He does not expect us to get ourselves out of sin and cleaned up before we turn to Him. But He is the one that will cleanse us when we humbly take the first step towards Him. Remember what it says in these verses. If my people humble themselves, then turn from evil and seek His face. These are the things that must be done. But the amazing thing is that these actions are all internal actions, and they're acted on first. They may manifest themselves in our outward appearance and our outward character. But our appearance to others is not the main thing or the most important thing to Him. But it is the heart attitude that He will see and that He will judge. The question really is, how do we gain this humility or turn from evil or even seek His face? It is not by the, is it not by the Ruach and having the wisdom of Adonai to turn from the evil? James says this about the wisdom we need when we're in trial. James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach. And it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James says that when you are in a trial, ask for the wisdom needed, which is given in mercy and grace by Adonai, so that we see where we are and what we need to do to get out of that trial that we're in. And what James does not say is how you got into that trial. It doesn't say, if Adonai put you in the trial due to your hard attitude, or an action you took that you should not have got you into that trial, or if it was from an outside source that put you to test. But it does not matter what kind of trial you're in. The truth is the same for all the trials you may come against, even from sin. Before we're out of sin, He gives wisdom to see and recognize the sin. And the desire to get out of that messiness really comes from Him. It takes just the smallest bit of faith and humility to ask for that wisdom. And Adonai will honor that when you do it. The example from James here is a prayer for wisdom, but it works for all things prayed for or about. We must have faith and not doubt. If He is, or if He can, or if He will. If we are assured of our place in Him, then we will be equally assured of the answer that we are to receive from Adonai. But when our assurance is lacking, or in other words, our faith is lacking, we should not expect any of our prayers to be answered the way that we want them to be. He may use this time when you have lack of faith as a way to build up your acknowledgement of who He is and what He can do. And that may sound less than logical than you'd like it to be. Wouldn't the positive growth of our faith come from a swift and positive answer from Him? Sometimes. But as good as receiving a good answer is, a lesson for the future is better for our eternity sometimes. When that answer tarries, press in for the why it delays. See what He sees and repair it so that the prayer can be answered, knowing that it will be at the perfect time. Don't be discouraged when praying, regardless how long it's been. Yeshua said this by a parable in Luke 18. Luke 18, starting in verse 1. When Yeshua told them a parable to show that they should always pray and not be discouraged, He said, There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor respected people. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my opponent. He was unwilling at that time. But afterwards he said to himself, although I don't fear God and respect people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so she won't wear me out by her incessant coming. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge is saying. Won't God do justice for his chosen one who cries out to him day and night? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will quickly give them justice. But when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth. Will he find faith on the earth? The whole point of this parable is that we should not give up on praying. Yeshua says after the parable that God will not be slow for those who keep praying day and night. We have to ask two questions then. What is slow in the eyes of Adonai? And what is praying day and night? We know that our timing is not the same as Adonai's timing. Peter said that to Adonai, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a single day. That's not to say that Adonai doesn't know what time of day it is, but that he is outside of time. We count time in almost everything we do, including this message. I know there's a timer going. Adonai does not look at time the same way that we do, though. We can really see this when we read through the whole of scriptures. And maybe you don't even realize this as you're reading it. Because we want scripture to be linear. We want it to be sequential. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. It makes it so much easier for us to grab hold of it and make sense and comprehend what's going on. But for Adonai, it all happened at the same time. And he knew what was going to happen before it even happened. So time is different for him than for us. But we have to keep reminding ourselves of this. It can be so hard to read scripture and think that the things in Revelation were already relevant in Genesis. It all happened at once. So the things at the very end and the things at the very beginning tie together. He knew it right from the very beginning. For us, eternity is to come. For Adonai, it already is. And then, what about praying always and not become discouraged? How many of us have been praying for something for a long time? Maybe a situation, or maybe the salvation of a loved one. Maybe for the removal of a situation that's uncomfortable to us. You may say that for me it's been a long time coming, but you're not the only piece in that equation. Adonai is also a part of it. And he sees and knows the what, the when, the why of it all. We need to have patience and trust in him. And finally, as Shaul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 6, Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the scriptural forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so you may be able to resist when the times are evil. And after you have done everything, stand firm. When we pray, Be strong in Adonai. And that means not just in his words, but the way that you approach prayer. Do it with the full armor of God on. Do it to get ready for battle. Don't go into a gunfight with Satan thinking it's a fist fight. Know that your enemy Satan and his minions are fully dressed for the battle. And you cannot go up against them with anything less than they have. You actually were given more than they have in the Ruach, who cannot lose. But you must be ready. The description of the battle armor is all to go forward in the battle. It's never to back away. It's never to turn your back on your enemy. Then Ephesians continues on just a little bit later, after addressing what all the pieces of armor are. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Pray in the Ruach on every occasion, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the Keshedim." Then we're told to pray in the Ruach, in his spirit, in our spirit, on and in and for every occasion. The how is ready for battle and constantly praying with the right stance. We think that there are times of battle, but the truth is that the army of Satan is always fighting. And if they see you slacking off, they know that's the best time to press in on you. Put down your sword for a moment, and they will attack. Remember how the people were rebuilding Jerusalem and how they worked? With a weapon in hand, they worked. We too must be ready with the weapon that Adonai gave us, his word and the armor of God on, and to be ready to fight. This is how we're not just to fight, but how to ask anything of Adonai. Because there are so many times that when Adonai wants to bless, Satan wants to steal it from you right away. Press into a ministry, Satan will press back on you. We see it in the praise and worship teams all the time. People join the team and then drop out almost immediately. And when they drop out of the congregation because Satan has chased them and they were not built up first. Just as we heard that there are steps in a correct prayer, right? Remember, praise, confession, asking, worshiping, and then listening to him. There are subsets to each step. And we just went over the substeps within asking. Perhaps in the future there'll be a teaching on the subsets of the other parts of prayer. But for now, I want to just encourage you, look into them on your own. Check them out. See what you can find. So that you'll be able to pray and be heard and be answered. Father, I thank you that your word teaches us how to ask of you, what to ask of you, why and where and when. Father, I just ask that you would let your light shine upon those in the congregation, whether it be here or online, or those who are just listening even for the first time, that you would shine your light upon them so they would see how to ask. See how to go into battle even. Know you are the mighty one. You are the king, creator, and protector of your people. Father, we just ask that you would continue your blessing upon your people, and that they would continue their blessing upon you. Ruach, as we ask, help us to ask for those things that line up. Help us to ask for the things that will be will be able to point to them, to see the miracles, and point to them and say, look what the Lord has done. Look at all He's done for us. Father, I just pray that when we go forward in prayer, You hear because we're aligned. We just thank You and praise You. And everyone said, amen and amen.